Hey everybody, this is Bryant here, the audio engineer for the Porchcast. Just wanted to toss in a quick disclaimer for you guys. The first about 4 minutes of this one has a bit of an echo on it. We were live on scene at Woods Boss Brewing, and we had two different cameras going, two different microphones going, and that caused a little bit of feedback here and there. So we do get the echo solved right around the 4 minute mark.
You're listening to PorchDrinking.com's The Porchcast, brought to you by Molly's Spirits. And now, The Porchcast.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to episode 84 of The Porchcast.
This is a very special CBC edition
of The Porchcast. We are broadcasting live currently from Woods Boss Brewing here in Denver, Colorado. Very excited to be joined by Tara Nern, correct?
Yes.
Author and journalist. She is here to talk a little bit about her book that she released this year, A Woman's Place in the Brew House. And also just, she's been someone that I've really admired for a long time. I've really loved reading all of your work, covering this industry. So we're very excited to have you on the show.
I'm really glad to be here and meet you in person for what might be the first time.
I think so, yeah. We're also going to be joined by Christopher Glenn, founder of Bottle Share. He's in the background over there with Jordan Fink, co-founder of Woods Boss Brewing.
Just creeping around in the back.
Yeah, they're just lurking right now.
Somebody's going to pop out of a tank. It's like a cake.
But for all of you who are tuning in live right now, if you're whether you're attending CBC or just a fan of the industry, it's not going to be too heavy either way. So you're definitely stay tuned because we're going to touch on a lot of industry news.
We're also going to touch on a little bit of CBC stuff that's not just specific to those who are attending this week.
We're going to bring some news. We're going to have a lot of really interesting conversations.
Stay tuned.
This is the Porchcast. And also, if you like what you're listening to, be sure to follow us on Apple, whatever device you're following. I'm too old for this shit. I don't know. Podcast services. All that fun stuff. And if you have a question for us, you can definitely chime in the comment section below. So before we jump into it, I do want to take a second to give a shout out to our sponsors. A big thank you to Molly Spirits,
all of our Denver listeners, anyone visiting this week.
Explore a land of adult beverage discovery at Molly Spirits, curated selection of beers, wines, spirits, and Lakeside, Greenwood, and Greenwood Village Showcase. Shop over 14,000 products, including exclusive collabs, extensive craft beer selection,
in-store, online, curbside pickup, or delivery.
Learn more at MollySpirits.com. I was just over there prior to Labor Day checking out their beer selection. They've got some really killer stuff. They've got some really fun stuff from Firestone Walker.
They always have a lot of fun Russian River.
So really great beer selection.
Kind of a go-to place if you just need to find the exact thing.
Yeah, absolutely.
Pretty much guaranteed. Totally.
Molly Spirits. Also, a big shout out to On Tap Pretty Union. We'll get to them for a read later in the show, but a big thank you to our sponsors, On Tap Pretty Union. Let's jump right into it now. Tara, tell us a little bit about the book that you released earlier this year,
One's Place in the Brew House.
Right. So what's particularly notable about this book is that it is the very first book in any language that I know of to exclusively chronicle the history of women in beer.
That's incredible.
So there was definitely a gap. I'm glad to see.
How are the resources on that? Like, in terms of accumulating that information, but if nothing had really been documented before, like, I feel like you must have spent so much time, like, individually emailing people or finding what was good. Like, what was that process?
That's a really good question. And really, I'm going to answer that in a minute, but I want to touch on a point.
I'm sticking.
Well, what you're bringing up is this concept that I learned about researching called archival silences. Are any of you familiar with that term? I'm actually going to be giving a talk about it for the Beer Writers Guild we're members of. Archival silences is basically this idea that white guys basically had written history, and there's so many stories of so many different populations of people that have been silenced.
Sure.
So women being one of them. So that's like something that more women and more people of color, et cetera, getting in, their voices being heard more, we're hearing their stories more.
Yeah.
So as far as resources for women go, you know, it depends. Like, luckily, craft brewing started, you know, like 40 years ago. Sure. So I can call a lot of those people and ask them to talk to me about their experiences. I mean, some of them disappeared from beer for a long time and they were really hard to find.
Yeah, you don't have to go to like an old dusty library and try to find like a hidden book on a shelf like Indiana Jones or anything.
Oh, Indiana Jones makes it sound so romantic. I did go to a couple big libraries.
How about that? That looks better.
I did go to a couple libraries in Europe and pulled out like dusty tomes and stuff, and I'm reading like Finnish folklore. Yeah, right.
That's incredible.
Don't speak or read a word of Finnish other than than like kippies, which is cheers. Anyway, so yeah, and because of COVID, I couldn't really travel to go to those libraries all of a sudden, like I was expecting to. So, I had to rely on a lot of articles that I then had to. Like that I found online, to be honest, which I then had to fact check very thoroughly because, as you know, I mean, you can't trust most beer information you find on the internet.
Wikipedia doesn't count?
No, and sometimes Wikipedia does have like the most thorough answers too, and it's frustrating because you can't trust it.
And then every once in a while they just add in a little excerpt. You're like, that just blows the whole thing. Like, you change the whole information base now because of that.
I can't trust it. I was going to. So, yeah, you know, I took like pieces from here and there, and also because of COVID, like a lot of librarians, a lot of professors, a lot of museum curators weren't in the office, so I did run into some dead ends on that. And
there's a work shortage,
yeah, and that, well, they were working from home, right? So they're like, oh, I've got everything you need at the office, but I'm not allowed to go there. So
I just didn't know the library industry was also hit really hard. This is one that I feel like those jobs are pretty secure.
Pretty secure.
They seem pretty cush. That's all.
I don't have a push, but they're super helpful. I gotta tell you, the few libraries I was able to actually go to physically, those people were so happy to help.
Oh yeah.
All yeah, the they're time. Like here that somebody's actually here to look up something and not just take a nap.
So those were cool experiences that I got to go to, like the National Library of Scotland, for instance, and the Finnish Literature Society Library. And you took us down a huge tangent that I like talking about. I don't know if I answered your question, but anyway, you looked like you were going to say something.
No, I guess the main point is, like, for those, you know, obviously it's been a really huge year in terms of advancing the importance of celebrating women in the beer industry. You know, with Brianne Allen talking about a lot of the abuse and harassment that was happening in this industry, I think we are finally, you know, moving that conversation into how can we make more equity in this industry. And so for those who are looking into getting a career, you know, women who are working on getting into this industry, what is some of the stuff that you've discovered that might be more encouraging for that?
That's a very good question. Well, I think one of the things that's particularly encouraging is the number of women.
Sure.
Who are in the industry now.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously we're still very much, very much a minority.
Yeah.
But between the time when I decided to write the book a lot of years ago, and the time I actually wrote the book, the number of women had exploded. Like when I started, you know, I had my definite women in mind. I knew the pioneers who needed to be in the book.
Totally.
And then so much happened over the few years between concept and reality that I had to take out some of those older pioneers to put some of the new women in. So I digress a little bit, apologies for that. But my point is that women who want to get into the industry have a lot of women to look to already in the industry. And I find women in beer to be very talkative, always wanting to help, really wanting to share, really wanting to like pass on their knowledge, especially the women who have been in the industry for 30 years, for instance. Like they just want to share what they know.
Sure.
So, I mean, so advice for somebody who wants to get into the industry, if there's a woman that they know already in it, maybe start there, take them to coffee, take them to lunch, and then I'm sure that woman could give a lot of names than to call and have lunch with those.
Yeah, women. Being open to like somebody asking you a question and not just shutting them down probably helps a little bit, right? And not even necessarily shutting them down, but making the time, you know, just absolutely. Saying like, because that could be the gate that somebody needs open to have a really cool career and mm-hmm. find like a passion that they're really into.
Even since these horrific things have come out, you know, in the past year or so, how much would you say the transformation has already started about trying to recognize women in beer, about trying to laud these women-owned breweries and women brewsters and women, you know, in the short amount of time, how much progress have we all seen?
That's also a really good question. And I will correct your timeline because I think it's important to be accurate about this. This all the Brienne stuff, the law, as I call it, was in May. So what is it now? It's only been a couple months. Yeah.
It feels like a long ass time. Does, let me just say does. That. Maybe that's why I got that.
Much less than a year, which is why I make a point of it. Yes. There's already been a lot. Mm-hmm. And it's amazing. And you were telling me before we started recording, you talk about it on the podcast a lot. And there's been so much writing and I'm getting so much buy-in. I'm seeing so much buy-in from men. So thank you for talking about it on the podcast. And then two other things are really becoming very notable and visible to me. One, there are real initiatives happening to like collabs, like the Brave Noise collab that Brienne is behind. And
I definitely want to touch on that a little bit more as we get into the show, but yeah, continue.
And that's related to the news we're going to break. So there are prominent people in the industry partnering with other types of organizations in this space to really bring practical applications to breweries. For instance, Julie Rhodes of Not Your Hobby Marketing and Andrew from Craft Beer Professionals and Lady Justice Brewing, they've gotten together and they're forming an initiative with the actual people who created Safe Bars. So they've got something, it's just one example. So I think that's the most important thing that's happening is like TAN projects, right?
Getting more people involved and really, you know, having so many different, I think if we can get as many people as possible involved in this industry of you know, recognizing, bringing awareness, but also taking action to it, I think the more the better, right?
Well, and everybody's talking about the action, right? Yeah. Like, what are we gonna do to take action so that this isn't like yesterday's news?
Yes.
And so those are examples of that, like you're saying. But the other thing that I'm seeing that's neat is that, I mean, there are women in beer organizations, a few of them, as we know, Pink Boots being the prominent one. Mm-hmm. But after this happened, a lot of breweries and a lot of, some beer bars around the country had women's meetings. So like I went to one in Philly, for instance, at Love City Brewing.
Lady Justice had like a
big old town hall.
Open house. Town halls, exactly.
Hall type meeting. Yep.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, I didn't think too much of that because I'm already in a lot of like women in beer spaces. But I talked
to... You were proactive in that space already.
I was. Yeah. But not everybody was. And I was talking to a female co-owner of a brewery in the East Bay in California. And she was like, I never talk to other beer women.
Yeah.
Basically, because she's busy in the brewery. Sure. And so she had gone to one on the East Bay. And it like opened her eyes to like this community.
Yeah.
And so
just getting
I think
the conversation going.
Yes. The community of women, I think, along with the allies, is really starting to become stronger and talk about these issues and have each other's back.
Having a community and having a history goes a long way, right? Like you said, it wasn't incredibly well documented before. So people don't necessarily have anything to lean on as an example or for experience or anything like that. So now that there's a little bit more of a documented history through your book and people are getting together and realize they have support systems, they have people to talk to, and it's not just an isolated person in a couple different states, maybe even
they don't feel like they're in a vacuum. Right?
Not at all. Yeah. So, I mean, those two building blocks right there is a great step forward in at least just giving people opportunities.
And you raise another really good point. Somebody said this to me just today about my book and sort of women who want to be in the industry or who are in the industry who don't necessarily know the history of women in beer, that now this book can give them sort of a framework to hang their own careers on. And that's exactly what you're saying. And it's not something that I'd really thought of before, because there is this history that dates back to before civilization. I mean, we're talking hunter-gatherers.
Yeah.
It's believed that women were the ones who grew deer. So it's just in every civilization over time, over thousands of years, it's women being the brewmasters.
Typical women bringing all the good shit in, and just like men.
And the men taking
it. Exactly
what the book's about. Wow. It's like it's the story of the patriarchy through beer. That's what it is.
I mean, I'll mostly be taking the credit for how good this podcast goes.
that's why we're about a 4 out of 10.
Now you mentioned, you alluded to Brian Allen. For those who maybe haven't been following the industry as closely, Brian Allen recently announced her departure from Notch. Nothing negative of that, but just kind of being able to focus a little bit more on some of these collaborative efforts to, you know, uplift and raise the profile of women in craft beer as a whole. I know she recently helped launch the Brave Noise Collaborative Beer Project. Tell us a little bit more about that. I know that you did some great reporting on that.
Thank you.
Yeah.
So in the spirit of these national and international collab brews like Black is Beautiful, mm-hmm. Sonoma Pride, Resilience,
yep.
that Sierra Nevada put out, and Russian River before that,
yep.
Brave Noise is that. And mm-hmm. so basically it's a structure that Brienne and her partner Ash, who actually works at a brewery here in Denver, have put together, where anyone who wants can brew this Brave Noise beer, you know, following this general structure. But what they're doing that goes beyond what a lot of the other collab brewers have done, because, you know, we evolve, we learn from everybody before us.
Sure.
They're requiring people who want to brew Brave Noise to fill out a whole questionnaire,
okay.
basically like really dedicate, like stating very thoroughly where they're going to put their money. It's got to go.
I know there were some issues with like Resilience,
right.
and a couple others where, you know, people signed up to trying to get, you know, the notoriety of like promoting this is a, you know, collaborative beer with benefiting great causes, but then they don't end up actually donating this.
Oh, you mean somebody's just jumping on a social movement for personal gain? That's impossible.
Right.
Why would anybody ever
first
want to
time.
Do that?
Yeah.
And not contributing the money.
Yeah.
So
of course, that's ridiculous.
So like you said, Brienne just announced, God, it was only like a week ago or so, right?
Yeah.
That she was leaving Notch to focus on Brave Noise more.
Yeah.
And so I emailed Ash today.
Okay.
I was like, I'm going on this podcast. And so what does that mean for Brienne? Like, what is she going to be doing? So they're developing an app, for instance,
okay.
for a reporting app for sexual harassment and discrimination and things like that. And then the news that she said I could break today on your show is that they, Brienne and Ash, are partnering with Jen Blair, who, was most recently brewing at New Realm, Mitch Steele's brewery in Atlanta, Georgia. Is it Atlanta specifically?
Mm-hmm.
And they are going to develop a fund for women who want to leave toxic workplaces.
Oh, wow.
Because, you know, a lot of times their hands are tied, right? Like single mom, or even if not, like
can't
just quit your job, right?
Sure.
So, and some of your viewers might also know Jen as Under the Jenfluence. She's a blogger. And so they're partnering. And I think that's big news because Jen's got, you know, a prominent voice. She's
sure.
a killer brewer. She was working for Mitch Steele, who was at Stone for so long. So
that's awesome.
Stay tuned for that. I think that's a new kind of project too.
That's so huge,
you know?
Because like you said, you know, sometimes, you know, if you're dealing with harassment, if you're dealing with a toxic workplace, it's not just easy as saying, all right, I'm going to leave the situation. There's other factors at play. This sounds like a really tremendous opportunity to help, you know, help them, you know, be able to transition a little bit more easily. So,
a little cushion.
Yeah,
at least.
Absolutely.
You know.
Very cool. Well, thanks for sharing that news. That's super exciting.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Yeah, speaking
Hot
of
takes, breaking news.
You'll bring me back.
Yeah. Totally. Now Tara, it's been a crazy, for those who are just now tuning in, we've got Tara Nurin, journalist, author of A Woman's Places in the Brew House. Thank you for joining us once again. We've been talking a little bit about her book that was released this year. How do people find this book? How can people purchase your book?
So it comes out officially in about 2 weeks, okay. But it's on pre-order on all the websites.
Perfect.
You know, Amazon if you want to go that route, but also there's a bookshop.org okay. if you want to order it from your local indie bookshop.
Do that.
Yeah.
And
as I understand, you're going to be doing a reading here during CBC for those yep. who are listening live. You have an opportunity to meet Tara and actually hear directly from the book, right?
Correct. So the ticketed portion where I'm going to be reading is sold out.
Okay.
But I'm going to be signing books and selling them.
Yeah.
So that's Friday. If you are here in Denver, that's Friday, which I believe is tomorrow. They tell me tomorrow. Yeah. That's what Google Calendar says.
I was asking myself the same question earlier. Like, I don't know.
The CBC blur.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
So that'll start at 5. And I'll be signing and selling books from about
Prost,
5 to
right?
7 at Prost. Okay. Yep. Tomorrow, Friday, and that's not ticketed. Come have some beers, watch the award ceremony.
Oh,
we'll be
fantastic.
Streaming it with sound. The yeah. beer writers will be hanging out there. Yeah, yeah, it'll be
and
fun.
And that's the rowdiest group at CBC.
Oh, right.
The
you
beer
know
writers.
It.
The yeah. beer writers. Yeah.
The beer writers. They're notorious.
John Hall will be under a table somewhere. and then also, you've been doing some really cool work with NZ Hops, right? Mm. Tell us a little bit about that.
So I do some marketing consulting
yep.
as well. And my fabulous client, like truly, is New Zealand Hops. Yep. And it's a co-op of family growers. They produce the vast majority of the hops that are grown in New Zealand.
I think we interviewed them for an Instagram Live for Firestone Walker, right?
That's right.
Yeah.
That's exactly right.
Totally.
Matt is from Firestone is yep. a huge fan.
Oh yeah, their stuff's fantastic. Yeah.
So we've got a booth here. I'll plug it at 1743 if
sure.
you're here. And we've got activations going on all weekend, and some of them, I mean, they're all awesome, but from like learning how to rub hops and sniff them, Nectaron is our new blockbuster hop.
Which is an amazing pastime for anybody that hasn't done it. One of the best experiences.
Yeah, come learn how to do it. Oh yeah. This
Love
is,
it.
And you know, New Zealand hops are
right.
known for
yeah,
being
yeah.
like tropical,
so aromatic, yeah.
fruity,
yeah.
super
no.
aromatic. I'll be doing a book signing at the
okay.
booth Saturday at 1:00, but what I'm actually most excited about is that we've got two amazing, and I don't use the term master brewer lightly,
sure.
but they are both master brewers okay. who are going to be doing Q&As. And one is Grant Woods, who he invented Angry Orchard, invented Utopias. He started a brewery, Revolver, in Texas, and he sold it to, Molson Coors
yep.
now, and he knows everything.
Cool.
So that's an Ask the Brewer. And then we've got the head brewer from Whole Foods, who's a big
oh,
New
wow.
Zealand house fan, too. So he'll be at the booth. So
right.
yeah, lots of stuff.
Cool. Be sure to bring my my own bag so that mm-hmm. I can carry out.
Of course. Question for you about the book. Mm-hmm. What was do you have a highlight story or one that you were just like pleasantly surprised to find out that was just that you weren't expecting? Like any big highlight?
Oh, so, yeah, that's a good question. I need to think about these questions first before I get interviewed.
As they
yeah.
come. So I don't
really like
got
your journalism here.
I don't plan.
I know I'm being ambushed.
I don't plan any of this shit. I'm just here for a call and response.
A pleasant surprise. You know, I have a good surprise that I've talked about, but it's not a pleasant surprise. It's an unpleasant surprise.
Oh,
so,
all right. Well, how about we do the unpleasant one first,
and then
I'll highlight
okay,
after. That's
cool.
showbiz, baby.
Yes. So stay tuned for the pleasant surprise after the break.
That's called a tease.
The unpleasant surprise, which was the biggest surprise, I think, of my research, was that I would learn about certain types of certain superstitions
sure.
in brewing dating back thousands of years. Like one comes from Northern Europe in about the year 1000. There were certain places in certain countries where men were actually doing the brewing, and they wouldn't let women near the brew because they thought they would sour it, which was basically a cover for you don't know how to brew. But so that happened 1000 years ago-ish. And then I interviewed this woman in her 80s, Jerry, in Minnesota, who's been in QA for decades.
Sure.
And in the 60s, where she was working at an old legacy brewery, all the women, all the QA department was female, and they weren't allowed to go down to the floor and pull their own samples because the production guys on the floor thought that the yeast Jesus. They produced would
That's like don't go down bears can smell the menstruation. Like that's the similar.
And then everybody
completely uneducated bullshit.
And you're like, well, we fucked up.
Keep it clean, right? I mean, awesome. So like a lot of things really haven't changed. I know there's a lot of skepticism around everything that's going on with Me Too, and I know that there are people out there who like minimize and deny these experiences, but like we've got a that one example, one minor
historical
example, that's
evidence
a thousand
of
just, years of not of no progress. Basically.
Absolutely. Well, Tara, thank you so much for joining us and sharing a little bit more about A Woman's Place in the Brewhouse, releasing in 2 weeks. Folks, if you are interested, be sure to check all of, you know, any place that you would buy online, Amazon. You mentioned what was the other website?
Bookshop.org. And they can do that now because it's on pre-order. So.
Perfect. We are going to take a quick break, but we are going to welcome on Christopher Glenn and Jordan Fink onto the show to talk a little bit about Bottle Share and Woods Boss Brewing's collaboration. Tara, if you're available to stick around for a little while, we'd love to have you stay with us here in a second.
I'll stick around. I owe your viewers a pleasant surprise. I'm going to have to think about that over the next 2 segments.
Fantastic. All right. Fellas, you guys want to... pull up a chair.
How do we take a break? We're live.
In the meantime, for those who are tuning in and maybe missed the beginning of the show, this is episode 84 of the podcast. My name's Tristan, joined by my co-hosts Corey, David, and then also Brian Vanderweer. And then our first guest on the show is Tara Nurin, author and journalist of A Woman's Place in the Brewhouse. We are very excited to welcome on Bottle Share founder Christopher Glenn. How's it going, brother?
It's going awesome, man.
Great to see you. And then also Jordan Fink, co-founder of Woods Boss Brewing. Jordan, thanks for hosting us today.
Thanks for coming.
Yeah,
so really it's a little loud and back.
It is CBC week. How Woo! Exciting is that?
It's stuff. Fucking exhausting, but it's fantastic.
Yeah,
not even 2 minutes to drop the F-bomb.
That's right. Last one.
We're gonna try to tally a record for the Porchcast to see how many F-bombs Jordan gets. If I were to bet of all of our guests, Jordan would be the one who might break the record.
I'm gonna win. Now I'm self-conscious.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No, it's okay.
No. Just do you, brother.
Then we're gonna try. All right.
I only have one speed.
Now, Tara, earlier in the show, talked a little bit about Brave Noise, the incredible collaboration with Brian Allen. But we also have a really rad collaboration to talk about that's releasing Friday. Tell us a little bit about how this came about. We're gonna plug this beer right now. Clarity Through the Haze.
We're just using this
a collaboration between Woods Boss Brewing and Bottle Share.
That's right.
Tell us a little bit about this beer.
It's a long story.
I got 5 minutes.
It all comes back to the label itself, and that's Chris's brain scan right there.
That's right.
Which we're gonna get into a little bit. But so Chris started Bottle Share.
That's trippy as hell.
And
why don't we start with Chris's story?
Yes, let's do that. That makes a lot more sense.
Okay. Chris, tell us a little bit about Bottle Share and how kind of this all came about, because you truly do. You are an incredible human being, one of my favorite people in the industry. And then also...
That's two-way street, my friend.
Yeah. But also, just hearing your story, like, brings me to tears, literally, every single time. So, I'd love to hear it. I'd love to try to not cry. And, tell us a little bit about...
Project a little bit, if you can.
So, keep coming.
There we go.
So, in 2018...
He's going to get all up in there.
So, back in... January of 2018, I was the tasting room manager or the bar manager for a brewery in Kennesaw, Georgia called Dry County Brewing Company. I'd had closed the brewery down one night, and on my way home, it was probably about between 1 and 2 in the morning. On my way home, I was struck by a drunk driver. I was at a red light. I was rear-ended, and he was traveling at about 60 miles an hour. It resulted in permanent neurological damage. And if you actually take a look at the can, that brain scan, the two arrows that are pointing to the two different parts of my brain. That is actually where I suffered atrophy. And so those regions of my brain will never grow back. So you'll see me tremor a lot. You'll find me searching for my words. You know, it's really affected my life substantially in multiple ways, one of which Bottle Share was born out of that experience. And the reason being is because the craft community in that area really rallied behind me, came together. They fundraised for me. They took care of me. They looked out for me. They treated me as if I was one of their own. And I realized at that point, I almost started harboring feelings of guilt. Like, why am I afforded this optimal environment to heal when there's so many other people out there that have it far worse off than I do, first off, but they don't have that family, that team, that support system that everybody needs, you know, at some point in their life, right? So Bottle Share was born from that. It was almost as if we're in this industry, like I said, not to make millions, but we do it because we love it. It's a passion project. And because of that, a lot of people sacrifice things like healthcare or benefits or, you know, whatever it might be. And a lot of people aren't covered, unfortunately. And what we're trying to do is revolutionize the way that we care for one another in the craft brewing industry, starting with Bottle Share and collaborations like this, working with people like Jordan to release these special one-off beers where the sales and the proceeds go back to Bottle Share so that we can continue writing emergency financial assistance checks to people that are in need within our communities. Last year was our first full fiscal year as Bottle Share. I had a lofty goal, what I thought was lofty at the time, of $20,000, granting out $20,000 to people in need. And we actually wound up beating that by 600%. And we granted out $124,000 last year just to our brewery brethren. So it's been an incredible journey up to this point. And the journey is becoming an adventure. And we're just really looking forward to what the future holds.
Hell yeah, my friend. That's so, so incredible to hear. Yeah,
that's a cool project. I'm just imagining you seeing the funds go up, like Walter's son in Breaking Bad when he sets up that website for like the healthcare. He's like, I'm trying to help my dad, and it just goes up to like $1 million. So, like, where is this all coming from? Like, I have no idea.
Yeah, just keep going.
I've only seen the first two episodes of Breaking Bad.
Wow.
Spoiler.
That's okay. Wow.
Yeah. I'm
I've only seen the first one.
I've only seen the first one.
No, it's okay. I mean, that's not a major plot point, but that was just for everybody else
something
to watch
meth,
it.
Something about meth, right?
Yeah, a little bit. You know, I know you're a dad. You're wearing two different kinds of glasses right now.
They're both prescription.
Now, Chris, how many breweries have you collaborated with?
This is our 17th brewery that we've collaborated with in just under 2 years.
That's so cool.
Yeah.
And what does that tell you about, you know, a couple things? I was going to say earlier about the need, but let's flip it to the willingness.
Yeah.
And what does that tell you about just like everybody's willingness? It's clear that you've found this chasm, this hole that needs to be filled.
I mean, correct.
Yeah. Expand on that. Everybody jumps at the chance to work with Chris Glenn and Bottle Share. What does that tell you?
See, and that's the thing, is that it's a need, it's a necessity, and it wouldn't be alive today if it wasn't for the people that were willing to work with us, right? That were willing to create these amazing beers and put a story behind every single one of them. And, you know, whenever we go into a collaboration like this, we like to try to take, you know, the vibe of, say, Woods Boss and then the vibe of Bottle Share as well, and kind of mesh the two together. Jordan definitely did that. He rocked it out. And as a matter of fact, I'll let him tell the story about how my brain scan wound up on a can, on a beer can.
Probably drugs.
A lot of those.
Probably a psychedelic trip of some sort.
So leave it to Corey.
I looked at it and I was like, well, that's pretty trippy.
That's pretty cool. It is pretty trippy looking.
So someone recently gave me a sticker that said, perhaps drugs. So perhaps.
Perhaps.
No, so, you know, I'd seen Bottle Share pop up a little bit. You guys were kind of just getting going. And on one of the many Facebook group sites, this guy named Chris posted to say, "Hey, I'm coming to Denver. Who's around?" And my response was like, "Come on by."
No backstory. Just like, I'm coming through.
Yeah, I didn't know who he was. I didn't know he was connected with Paul Scherer. I was like, yeah.
Well, that speaks to how welcoming you are.
Exactly.
I mean, like, seriously, it's I count the number of times Jordan's like, "Hey, man, come over for a beer. Let's just
come hang out."
Yeah.
And like, seriously, that's one of the coolest things about you, man. Like, you, this is, you truly treat this as a home, and you invite people into your home. So,
I mean, you know, the craft beer has always been about community. It's actually why I wanted to open a brewery, beyond just a love of beers, that craft beer was a big part of community for me coming up, even as a fucking teenager. There's two. Anyway, so, you know, I mean, some dude coming through Denver was like, yeah, come say hi. So he rolls in with, there's a few of you that day.
Yeah, I had an entourage, man.
Heavy crew.
Totally. I was like, all right, hey. He's like, oh, I'm Chris Balcher. I was like, oh, okay, I heard a little bit about Balcher. He's like, well, let me tell you everything about Balcher. I was like, all right, I had no idea that, like, this was a sales pitch, but cool, like, let's hear it.
You have time to talk
about Yeah.
Our
Lord and
Savior Bottle Share.
Let me
tell you everything.
Yeah, so he fills me in on the whole Bottle Share story, his adventures in catastrophe and rebirth and rejuvenation. I was like, badass, that's cool. He's like, you want to make a beer together? I was like, yes, I do. But it's the middle of the pandemic. I don't know what the fuck is going on. Like, we're three.
Hey, for every F-bomb, Jordan donates $10,000 to Bottle Share.
Yeah, every F-bomb, I'm going to take a handcuff. Let him
speak, really. Fuck any fuck.
Exactly.
It's like the home run derby. Anyway, so
middle of pandemic.
Long and short of it was like, yes, we're going to do something together, but now is not a great time. Sure. We're going to figure it out. We want to do it well, and if we rush it, we're not going to do it well. So we kept talking. I think it was a few months later, Chris was back out because he had just done a collaboration with Burns Family Arts and Ales, Respect, Peculiar, and Lady J. So he was rolling back through, and we're like, yes, we're absolutely going to do it. Chad was here. We were hanging out right in back there. It was right about the time that we found out that CBC was rolling back through Denver. We're like, all right, how about this? Let's do it during CBC so that it's not just a beer that gets released that raises money, but it's also an opportunity, for Chris to be able to like network and meet a lot of other brewers and hopefully expand his reach and, you know, line up a bunch more collaborations and, you know, pay it forward and spread the love. Like, yes, I love that. When is CBC? We're like, no. Okay, cool. When are we going to brew it? I don't know. In about 4 months. And we'll start. We'll keep talking about it. We'll work it out. What do you want to make? I don't know. We'll figure that out, too.
Really taking the wind out of
his sails. He's like, well, what do you want to call? I was like, I don't know.
I'm good with that.
Yeah. It was like, I don't know. We'll figure that out, too. He's like, oh, by the way, take a look at my brain scan. I'm like, that's the label. He's like, what? Man. I was like, yeah, what else could it be? Like, it's got to be your brain scan.
That is incredible.
Show it again.
Which, you know, he told me the story, the arrows and the atrophy and all that sort of stuff. I was like, what else could it be? Like, it's the ball shares you. That's your brain. Talking about it, we were talking about, and Chris shared a lot. We've become good friends. We talk, shared a lot about his struggles. And we wanted to make a beer that was going to have broad reach, right? So IPA, in terms of what's going to sell fast and a lot of folks were going to want. But I'm tired of making hazies all the time. I make a lot of them. They're great. I love them. That's great. But in talking about, we've been playing around with this sort of juicy but clear style a little bit. Coastal Companion, I know you like it.
Big fan.
We've done a Colorado style IPA, but that's a whole other thing, which doesn't mean anything anyway. It's whatever you want it to be.
All marketing.
Yes, totally. In any event, so we're like, let's make a clear but juicy IPA and let's call it Clarity Through the Haze.
Yes.
Your brain is super hazy and you're seeking clarity, and there's a little bit of a pushback against all the haze and let's make clear beer, you know, Comrade, and make IPAs clear again and all that sort of stuff, which we love as well. So this sort of serendipity, it all just kind of came together in all the right ways. And we're really excited to, you know, present this to the world. You guys are drinking it.
Yeah, it's really, it's really fucking good.
It's terrible. I'm gonna take all of it off your hands. Okay. Don't worry about it.
Sounds good.
It's amazing.
So do you literally just you reach out to whoever's willing to work with you, or is it a little bit more selective?
It's a combination of both. So, you know, obviously, when you first get started, just as important as raising funds is raising awareness. And so you want as broad of a reach as possible. And so I would just saturate, you know, as much as possible. Hey, bottle share. This is what we're doing. This is what we're up to. We would love to work with you. If it's over an email, it's one thing. But if I'm on the phone with somebody and I can share my story or I can speak to them face to face, then, you know, things are looking good and usually traveling in a pretty positive direction when it comes to collaboration. So I don't cast as broad of a net out as I did at the very beginning. It's a little bit more selective. Obviously, we want to work with breweries and individuals that that kind of, you know, match with our values and our what we stand for, right? Not that nobody doesn't. I haven't run across a brewery that doesn't yet.
I've got a
let's go. That's available on the Patreon. We'll have that available exclusively after the show.
I was going to say it's on incognito.
Right? There you go. Yeah. I mean, the craft brewing industry is phenomenal in terms of the ratio of awesome people to not awesome people. What I miss?
Oh no. We'll bring this up possibly later on in the show.
All right, sounds good. And you know, I mean, it's an industry that gives back hard in a lot of ways, which is fantastic. I mean, when we started Woods Boss, Chad and I sat down, and our first conversation was not about beer or money or space or where. It was what kind of company we wanted to be, and the very first line item on our business plan was one that gives back. And it's just in the fabric of not only who we are, but a thing in this industry as well. And you meet Chris and you walk in and you hear his story, it's really hard to say no to this guy.
Look at that face. Like you look at
to,
that face.
You have to be an extra level dick to be like, no.
I agree. Yes.
Like, we'll pass.
Cool story, but no, bro.
Yeah.
So I don't mean to cut you off.
No,
sorry.
Please do. I need it.
I'm fellow East Coast, so yeah. You know. Yeah. You might have mellowed out being in Colorado a little
longer. Not so much.
Like how does somebody decide that they're in this situation where they deserve, I guess,
certainly
to contact you? And is this something that is more prevalent than we're talking about?
Yes.
The beer media.
Yes. Okay. Yeah. Great question. So first off, anybody is eligible to apply for a grant. They go onto our website, which is www.thebottleshare.org. Just quick shout out, put that out there. And they fill out a quick application form. It's actually not even an application to begin with. It's a survey. What that survey does is it helps prevent us from becoming bottlenecked with a lot of grant applications coming in. Now, unfortunately, there are people that do reach out that are in different industries that are looking for a grant or this or that. But there's actually a lot of people need help every single day, you know, whether it's accidents or a spouse passing away or
a crate challenge at a brewery.
Yeah, getting hit by a drunk driver.
No, nobody.
Something blowing up in the back of the brewery.
Serious conversation.
we actually had somebody that was injured in a blast. Something blew up in the back of a brewery and came to us and we were able to help. And not only were we able to write a grant out for them, but we were actually able to also hold a fundraising campaign through a charity GoFundMe. And raise a bunch of additional funds for them as well. So it really helped out them, their family. They had two younger children. Another unfortunate circumstance happened not too long ago when a gentleman that runs a distributing company out in Georgia suddenly and tragically passed away. He had three children, all under the ages of 5 years old. He was the breadwinner. She was a stay-at-home mom. He had, you know, what do we do? Where do we go from here? So not only were we able to grant them, but we ran a fundraising campaign for them. And I think in total, we raised about $30,000 for her.
And I remember earlier, this was a, again, see my timelines are, it was definitely earlier than a year, but when it was kind of a similar tragic passing of Rodney at Three Habs in the Missouri Guild. And I remember the first person I thought of was you, and you had kind of talked on your live stream last week about just being a tax shelter as well. And there's so
absolutely.
Many benefits.
And that's the cool thing. So any, not that businesses and organizations want to work with us due to a tax benefit,
sure. Yeah.
But it is a benefit, you know, and at the end of the year, these companies get to save some money on their taxes. Additionally, the people that we grant to, say, for example, you go through a regular GoFundMe. When that person receives that money, that is now taxable income. If they go through a charity GoFundMe, such as Bottle Share, to help somebody out in the industry, that is not taxable income. That's a grant coming directly from a 501c3 nonprofit. So there's tax benefits for both the business and the individual by going through Bottle Share. Yeah.
We actually had we worked with Bottle Share this past year. A good friend in the local brewing industry who brews here. His name's Josh. He works at Brews.
I've got his check.
Oh, good. He said he's going to come by tomorrow.
It's huge.
Nice. I will make sure that I'll remind him again.
Awesome.
Anyway, Josh, amazing guy. Love him. He's like brother. But just lost his wife to breast cancer. She's young. She's like 34. Two young kids between COVID and a year and a half of fighting stage 4 breast cancer. They weren't able to work. She finally passed. And we did a collaborative brew, and 20 different breweries all took a keg and sold it and donated 100% of the proceeds. But we funneled it through Bottle Share, who also helped with the campaign to raise additional money as well. We were able to raise, I think it was over $20,000 for us, which, you know, at this moment is life-changing for us.
Sure.
So, yeah, I mean, not only is it something that we personally stand behind, but we personally have seen the benefits to people that we know working through Bottle Share. And I mean, from my perspective, to answer your question, as a brewery owner, I worry about my employees all the time. We don't have a safety net. We wish we could offer health insurance. We don't, because we can't afford it.
Yep.
Literally. I mean, we're working towards that constantly. But you know, the things happen all the time to all of us. The number of people in this industry means that there's going to be a lot of people that are fucked. At some point.
As well placed. Yeah.
Right, right. Yeah. But more people, as more breweries open, more people join the industry, more ancillary services.
Yep.
And that's exactly what I kept thinking as you were talking, Chris, is it's an industry with so little health insurance.
Mm-hmm.
And this Me Too stuff, you know, some of the stuff that came out, a lot of the stuff that came out didn't relate to sexual harassment necessarily. It was just poor workplace treatment, right?
Totally.
And the things that people put up with to work at a brewery. And a lot of them can't afford health care.
Not even the owners have health care.
Yeah.
You know what
right.
I mean? Like it's
my health care comes from my wife.
Yes. Yeah, it's resources, and it's like Jordan said, it's a safety net that hasn't existed up until this point.
Yeah.
You know, and we're digging 10-foot deep holes for those footers and that concrete foundation that we're trying to pull right now.
Yeah, and it would be unfortunate if people have to pick between working at a job they really love and trying to grow in an industry that they really care about just for the sake of getting a job they hate because of the better benefits.
Exactly.
Like that,
and then
right?
Where's your quality of life at that point?
And ultimately, yeah, I mean, the industry is fun because it's made up of fun people that all contribute in different ways and have great personalities or good hangs. Like, it's all some time we like to spend together. It sucks that somebody would have to leave because they have to, like, because of, like, medical reason or because they're just like, I can't hang without decent insurance anymore, or help, essentially, if they get put into a spot.
Exactly. So that's what we're here to do. We're going to shift things a little bit, you know, and that's the goal. We're just getting started. You know, we're under 3 years old, not even 2 years old yet. And hopefully making some positive impact in the lives of those that matter.
And some good beers.
Damn straight. I'm hanging out and drinking.
Yeah, well, circling back, clarity through the haze, for those who are listening in and maybe are interested, come by Woods Boss Brewing to pick up this collaboration beer with Bottle Share. And you can help to fundraise for a great cause, great just cause. By drinking great beer.
That's right. Yeah. Absolutely. And I always tell people, you never know if the funds that we raise through this might go to help you, or might go to help somebody that you know in the industry. And for Jordan to be able to see it working firsthand, and how we were able to help Josh and come together with the community and just kind of be there for them, makes all the difference in the world.
That's incredible.
Can I earmark the proceeds from this to me for when I have a... Kidding.
You're planning your injury ahead of time.
Breakdown, maybe.
Well, speaking of, we are still in the works of developing something with Bottle Share, so hopefully, stay tuned. Sports Drinking is definitely. We were inspired by the story, so we're working on some fun stuff with Bottle Share, and hopefully, have some news to announce here very soon. So
we're super excited
after
about
the break. Yeah, totally. Speaking of news, I do want to jump into. I know that we're getting close to our 1 hour mark in terms of when we started recording, but. Real quick, I do want to give a plug to something that we reported on earlier today. We now know the locations for the next 4 craft brewers conferences coming up. I would love to get your all's reaction.
Sweet.
Because I don't know if you all, I'm sure you all probably haven't read the article because it's
been
a crazy day.
Yeah.
But obviously this year is Denver. Next year is still Minneapolis, as was planned. We reported that 2 years ago.
Minneapolis is way cooler than anyone, at least on the
especially
East Coast
in the summer.
Knows.
Especially in the summer.
Is it as cool as Cleveland?
It's awesome.
What I wanted.
I like it much better than Cleveland.
Far better. Far better.
Ken?
Can't fuck with Cleveland. I don't know. I'm the same. Gotten there yet. Anyway.
It does have Cedar Point nearby, but.
Anyway,
I hear the best part of Minneapolis is St. Paul. Is that true?
I mean, they are twins. Yeah. So, anyway, Minneapolis next year, and that is happening in May. So, they're still planning on moving forward with CBC in May in Minneapolis. After that, going back to Nashville, thoughts?
Because everyone's going to get
hell yeah
fucked up like they did last time.
It's a party town. You just can't help yourself. That's the problem.
I think sucks brewers in. Can't handle their
Tara, you mentioned you.
Is what I think.
Yeah, people drinking themselves out of a job that weekend. Is that what you're saying?
I personally projectile vomited in Nashville.
Were you going to ask?
Is the person you described? It was Jordan.
Yeah, it might be. I stepped over a brewer in the street at the Nashville CBC.
Was he still wearing his boots? How do you know he was a brewer?
Interesting.
No, he just had the lanyard. He had the lanyard.
And then afterwards, you thought Nashville, going back to Nashville, was going to be a big deal. Then we are going to Las Vegas.
Everyone's going to lose all their money.
And then finally, to wrap it up, in the final year that we know about, it's going to be Indianapolis in 2025, I believe.
Okay.
So, Indianapolis is interesting because the last CBC that was in Denver was supposed to be in Indianapolis, but that changed as a result of I can't remember the name of the act now, but the discriminatory act that was put in place by Mike Pence, governor. And at the time, the BA felt that it was not an inclusive atmosphere. So last minute, they shifted to Denver. Now it is returning to Indianapolis, now that they've amended that law to prevent it being applied for discriminatory purposes. So good to see Indianapolis getting it back. I know I did reach out to the BA to ask. San Antonio was originally going to be a destination during 2020. However, COVID canceled that. And then this year was actually supposed to be San Diego, but it was canceled. It was shifted back to Denver as a result of COVID as well. Apparently, both of those cities had scheduling conflicts, so they're hoping to bring it back to both of those cities down the line. But for now,
It was mostly based on availability.
Yeah. It's good to know that Denver, there's like a place for it to always go.
Yeah,
well, you know what I mean?
It's the cheer.
It's like,
I don't know.
It's like, I understand.
I have to fly here, dude.
I understand that it's the hub and everything.
I mean, Christopher does too. So.
Yeah, I know. It's true. Well, okay. Can we talk about?
We get GABF every week.
That's true.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, I already have to fly here all the time.
Personally, I would prefer it to be elsewhere as well. I'm in your camp also. So
I'm in both camps because I appreciate the business.
Yes.
sure. But I don't actually get to enjoy CBC because
you're working.
I didn't even get a pass this year because I knew that I was going to be down here 24/7. And no offense, BA, but why spend a bunch of money when I'm not going to be able to actually participate?
Well, you are coming to the comedy show later.
But I don't need a CBC pass to go to a comedy show in my own brewery.
I'm gonna make you show me. I'm gonna make you show me a CBC pass to get it.
Right, you can borrow mine.
For those who are watching live, be sure to come down to Woods Boss 8 o'clock tonight. Corey David is hosting a comedy show. It's gonna be fantastic.
It'll be awesome.
Yeah. Even AJ is absolutely hilarious. Corey is as well. I mean, he's okay.
Yeah, I was gonna say there will be other people that are actually funny.
So.
I swear I'm better than the podcast. Yeah, I swear. No, yeah, I start today over at the
Lodge. It's gonna be an awesome show. Seriously, at the Lodge here at Woods Boss Brewery.
We're only 7 blocks from the convention center.
Tickets still available,
Tickets still available. Yeah, you can show up. You can buy one at the door. And yeah, it's just gonna be a lot of craft beer people hanging out to have a laugh. I'm gonna probably make fun of some people's distributors and lie to everybody that this is an ABP meeting that they didn't expect to go to. So make it fun.
Well, thanks, guys. I really appreciate you all joining for this show. It's been an absolute blast. And obviously, I'm such huge fans of all of you all, which is why I asked you to join us for this special edition of a pre-CBC Porchcast. A big shout out to our sponsors once again. I want to give a shout out to Molly Spirits for all of our Denver listeners or people come to Denver. Be sure to explore Land of Adult Beverage Discovery at Molly Spirits. But also a big thank you to OnTap Credit Union. OnTap Credit Union isn't your average bank or credit union. It's different. It's Colorado. It was founded in 1954 in Golden, Colorado. Just great financial advice in a friendly environment where you can relax, enjoy yourself with OnTap members. We actually just recorded a podcast with them for our last episode. They do a lot of financing for breweries, but also for home loans, first-time home buyers, auto loans. Literally, they started working with breweries and now they've expanded to everyone. So
they were hanging out earlier today.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely.
Really, and they're sponsoring my PBS.
That's awesome.
The Pink Boots event tomorrow.
That's fantastic. Yeah, OnTap Credit Union, great folks, and really tremendous people that you can trust. So member-owned, Colorado proud, federally insured through NCUA. This has been episode 84 of the Porchcast, guys. Be sure to tune in. Again, follow us on all of your listening devices. We do have some really special guests lined up in the future, so stay tuned. We're going to have more to come.
Tara, plug the book one more time.
Okay. It's called A Woman's Place is in the Brew House. It's got a really long subtitle. Spare you. But it's on pre-sale now online everywhere.
No, absolutely. Thank you to Tara. Thank you to Chris.
Thank you. Thank
Jordan.
You
thank you, Corey and Bryant. I'm Tristan. This has been episode 84 of the Porchcast. We will check you later.